Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed or understood to be legal advice.
Want to know the first thing I bought for myself when I was going through my divorce?
What's that?
New sheets.
Oh, I bet.
Friends, don't sleep on those old sheets that you shared with your ex. Yuck. You deserve some luxury in your life, and what better way than treating yourself to one of Oprah's coveted favorite things?
We're talking about Cozy Earth sheets. So soft, so luxurious. Go to CozyEarth.com, and you can save up to 35% if you use the code HNTSAD.
That stands for How Not to Suck at Divorce. Cozy Earth sheets, where dreams come true.
We just want to make sure that legally you know all your risks and your rewards with every decision.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
All right. It's been a week this week and we're midweek. I feel like it should be Friday, but we're still at Wednesday recording. I'm drinking wine. You're drinking wine. But my wine glass is short because I always spill things and yours looks really big and beautiful.
Thank you. You know what? I don't have the kids tonight, so I can drink out of the stem. What do we call it? A stem full, as opposed to the stemless wine glass, because I'm at Steve's and I have the ability to drink like a grown up.
I like it. You know, it's funny because when I don't drink wine a lot, but I'm drinking it tonight because, you know, I like spirits instead.
Uh huh. You're very spirited that way.
I am. But I'm really like kind of snobby about wine, not wine in general, but how I drink it. So if I'm going to drink a glass of wine, I want like a big, fabulous glass. You know, one of those annoying ones that you have to hand wash afterwards.
Like a Riedel?
I mean, I don't have to be that fancy. I could do Home Goods. As long as it looks big and beautiful, I don't care. And then I'm always mad that afterwards because I have to hand wash it. But tonight I'm going low end, low stem, because if I spill it in my son's closet, it's just going to be hell to pay.
I once had an obnoxious person in my life who would school us saying, it's not Riedel, it's Riedel, like needle. And that will stick with me for the rest of my days. So it's Riedel like needle.
Oh,
those are, and for those of you who are wondering what the hell we're talking about, it's those like fancy, super expensive wine glasses.
That you break every other minute.
Yeah, because they're like thin. Right. It's like you could sneeze on it and the thing crumbles.
I mean, it's ridiculous because I'm all about quality, but I'm not going to spend that kind of money. I'm going to break it every other second.
Of course, as everybody would. What was I going to ask
you? You asked me what I was drinking. I'm drinking Cabernet. What are you drinking?
Ooh, I'm drinking a Cabernet Shiraz blend. And this is, are you a Cooper's Hawk fan? You're not a huge wine person, so you really wouldn't be.
You know what? It's funny because the wine I like is like just something that tastes good to me. I don't even know if it's $1 or $200. I have no idea.
Right. So for those of you who are wondering what Cooper's Hawk is, if you live in the Chicagoland area, which is where we are, there's a winery. They have like several restaurants and wine bars. It's called Cooper's Hawk, and you can belong to like their monthly wine club membership, which I recently joined, and they have several wines that are actually quite fantastic. And not everything there is fantastic. I will go on board and say not everything is great, but some of them are excellent. And this is one of the ones that I really enjoy.
But it's so, wine from Illinois, right?
It can't be. It can't be.
Our California listeners are cringing right now.
Oh, I'm sure. They're like, you know what? I love you guys, but I can't support the show anymore. Because you guys are stomping on your own grapes and calling it wine. One of my very good friends just got back from Italy 2 days ago, and she brought back some wine. It was just fabulous. And it was so funny because before we dig into what we're talking about tonight, so she was in Italy for 2 weeks. She's Italian, like she's from Italy. And she was there for a few weeks and she came back, and I was expecting her to look bloated and like, you know, puffy from pasta and wine. No, that bitch has never looked better. And I said, did you not eat and drink? She's like, Andrea, I drank wine every single day. I ate pasta. She's like, but we walked. We walked every day. And the food in Italy is different. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have all this garbage that what we have here.
Yep.
It was, Morgan, she looked so good.
Hey, you know what? I'm not a hater on women that look good. I'm like all for it. Good for her. And she ate and drank. Is there anything better than looking good after eating and drinking a ton? No.
I was amazed. I was like, this is just inspiring. So go. And it's funny because I know there's a few friends I have who listen to our show and who know this person I'm talking about. And I can know right now everyone's just laughing saying, I know. How does she look so good? But kudos. So talking about looking good, we're talking about drinking wine, we're talking about, you know, ways to relax and enjoy ourselves. And for a lot of people who are unhappy in their marriage, but they're not ready for one reason or another to pull the trigger and file for divorce, they're not feeling happy. They might be drinking wine, but maybe not for the right reasons. And they probably aren't looking and feeling their best. So the reality is that a lot of our listeners are in this place. And like I said, for one reason or another, they're not quite ready to file for divorce. And it's not that they're deciding whether or not to file. They have every intention of filing, but they're not going to do it right now. So if you are in that place, if I'm talking to you right now, what do you do? How do you get all your ducks in a row? How do you preserve your sanity? And that's what we're going to dig into tonight.
Yeah, exactly. And so let's talk about what I see for people that aren't quite ready to file, but have already made the decision in their head, whether they're going to acknowledge it or not, that this isn't going to work out and I'm out. And I'm out at some point in the future. So first of all, if that's you, if that little thing is nagging at you, or you've already said, forget it, I'm out, it's just timing, you are not alone. There are so many people out there, so many people I consult with out there that are doing the exact same thing. And so there's a lot of reasons why people might say, I'm doing this, or I want to do this, but I don't want to do this now. And so I've had this issue. This was one of the things when Andrea and I were prepping for this episode, I've had this issue a lot. So what are the things I'm hearing right now? One, I want to wait till get through the holidays, because the holidays are right around the corner. That's a big one. And again, no shame in that game if you can do it. No shame. You do what's right for your family. No one's judging you. Another thing, I want to get my child through X grade, right? So I want to get them through senior year. I want to get them to summertime. Andrea, what are you doing?
don't know, but why is my mic picking up all these noises?
I don't know. It sounded like you were like, I don't know, using like a nail file or something, like filing your nails.
Can you hear it now?
A little bit.
What the heck is going on? I'm dusting dog hair off my sweatpants, and it sounds like I'm taking a Zamboni machine.
Say, it's way better than your coughing last episode. That was one of the books.
Don't wake the dragon. You're going to make me cough now that you mentioned it.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry. But can I just – there's something that I have to say while you're talking about this. The child who hasn't gotten to a certain grade yet,
yeah,
right? Waiting for the holidays. Morgan, does it matter what grade the kid is in?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like there's certain things, because I want to be clear here that we understand that there are certain factors that some people have to wait on. Like, my spouse is about to change jobs, right? Something's about to happen that's going to greatly impact finances, right? Or somebody, God forbid, in the family, a grandmother or somebody is dying, right? And now is not the time to file. But I do hear a lot of what you're bringing up right now, which is I would like for my children to be in fourth grade as opposed to third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, are these things that we would encourage people to wait on? Or is this really a sign that they are kind of vacillating between should I or shouldn't I at all?
So you bring up a good point, and I think it's all about how everybody is feeling, and everyone feels differently. And a lot of people, this process is really scary, and you know that. I mean, it's not an easy process at all. So when you're thinking about, okay, I know I want to do it, but I'm so scared, a lot of people have to draw a line in the sand in their head of when they're going to do it. And so a lot of times, although it's tied to something, that something really doesn't matter in their case. It really doesn't matter in life. Like, it's going to be the same outcome either way. But in their head, it's more of like, okay, May 1st, that's it. I said to myself, that's it. And that might be what they need to get them moving forward. So there's a lot of reasons and there's a lot of things. What I always tell people, though, if you're considering like when is the best time, there's never a good time. There's never a good time because there's always something next. So everyone says, I want to get through the holidays. I get it. Nobody wants to get divorced or be divorcing through the holidays. You've got to get through it. I get it if you're not starting the process. But guess what's after the holidays? Martin Luther King weekend, spring break, maybe birthdays. Then we get into Easter if you celebrate that. Then, oh, we're right around the corner. It's school's out for summer. And now you've got kids home in your business all the time. So again, never a good time to do it, but I totally understand if you're drawing the line in your sand to get yourself to the next step.
What is the most popular time of year to file?
Most popular, hands down, is right after the holidays. So after New Year's, I start getting a lot of inquiries. I would say middle to end of January into February, huge filing season.
Mm-hmm. Middle to January into February. And then one other thing that I know people talk about, they say, well, it's about our taxes. Now, filing doesn't necessarily, it's about when you get divorced, when that divorce is finalized, right? Not when you file.
Exactly.
As far as, right?
It is. It is. And here's the thing, if you're worried, oh my gosh, you know, most people don't think about that when they're starting the divorce. That's like an afterthought. But if there's some reason or somebody out there that's like, I need to file jointly, which I get it, fine. But divorce attorneys are smart enough, even if you settle the case. So let's just say I'm in the middle of a divorce right now. Right now, while we're recording this, it's October. And I know that they're about to sign the documents. I might elect with the other side to hold that divorce judgment until the first of the year so that they can file jointly if that's a big deal for them.
Okay.
So again, not something that would hold it up, but maybe it is in your mind.
We know that there's lots of reasons, right? There's lots of legitimate reasons why people aren't ready right now. And there could be a lot of reasons that feel very legitimate to the person. And to us, it's different, right? And everybody's allowed to have their own feelings. We always say this, no two marriages are alike. No two people are alike. No divorces are alike. So you're going to do what's right for you. And again, if you are falling into this place of, no, guys, I know I want a divorce. I just can't now because...
Yep.
This is for you.
And so
the first Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think it's important that even though you feel like you're maybe at a standstill right now, mm-hmm. that you should know that you still have the ability to get the ball in motion, to prep, to get behind the scenes a little bit. And that's why we're doing this episode.
Right. Okay. So prep. This is what I want to ask you first. Can you and should you, and in what cases would you say you should start interviewing attorneys, even though you're not ready to file yet?
I think the minute that you're thinking, is divorce the right option for me, you start interviewing, because you don't know what the process looks like in order to make an informed decision on your family and yourself without interviewing at least somebody, maybe a few people. And Andrea, it's not unique. I have so many sometimes clients and sometimes potential clients that interview me, let's just say today. I give them the details of what, you know, their life may look like if they want to go forward. They say, hey, I know I'm doing this, but I'm not quite ready. I'll see you when I'm ready. And a year later, they pop back up. So it might take some time to get the information and to really put it in your head, think about it, and then make the decision. And that is what we want. We want you, if you're listening, the reason we do this show is if you go down this path to do it better, and there's no better way than having all of the information.
We talk about this a lot. You don't hire the first attorney you interview. Got to interview at least three people. And we have so much information out there about the questions that you ask and how what your process should look like. But what I want to ask you is, in what cases would you say, even though you're not ready to file, you should hire an attorney? You should go ahead and throw down that retainer and align yourself with somebody for when you're ready.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I usually don't push anybody because it feels salesy. It feels weird and gross and just icky. And that's just not my MO. However, if I see a client where there is some potential for quick things to happen, like maybe there's some abuse going on, maybe the person believes that at some point they're being followed or they're being tracked on their phone, the ex is probably acting erratic. Those are all situations where I'd want to have a retainer there so we are up and running should something go haywire. So that's the first reason I would say hire somebody and have them on standby. The second reason is if you love the lawyer that you talk to, you want to probably hire them so that your ex cannot hire one of their partners. And it varies state to state, but this is one of the things that most people believe, that if, you know, you go and interview five different law firms, they're knocked out of the game, but you don't hire any of them. They're not locked out of the game. So at least in Illinois. So that's why the second reason that you might want to hire somebody and have them on standby so that your ex doesn't get to hire them.
Okay, what about this? Would you ever hire somebody, or would you advise people to hire somebody so that that attorney's caseload can't get so busy to the point where then they can't help you? Or is it doesn't kind of moot because it's like, you can't really say, I'm going to need you in 4 weeks.
Right.
Be ready
next year. I think that's a non-issue because honestly, if you're hired and you sit there for a year and your caseload is beyond, you're going to have to tell that client anyway. But the two reasons, again, that you'd want to maybe hire one is something could happen pretty quickly and you might need your attorney to jump quickly, and getting them, you know, retained and up to speed may take a little bit of time. So that would be number one. And number two is to really make sure if you like the attorney and the firm that you're talking to, that you hire them and not your ex.
Okay. Let's talk about this. If we were to give people three to-dos, right? You're not ready to file yet, but right now you know you are going down this road. What are three things that they should do?
Okay. So number one, start looking at what's coming in on the financials. So start looking at where things are held. If you're the person that doesn't really know that, just look at the mail. Figure out, oh, we have a Chase account. We have a Fifth Third account. We have...
Well, everything is online these days. Like what if for people where everything's coming in electronically, what can they do there? because this comes up a lot, you know, when people are saying like, well, I don't know, we don't have a paper trail anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. So if someone is purposefully putting it on email or diverting things, it's going to be hard. And that's going to be the attorney's job in the future. However, a few things you can do. Number one, when you're not divorcing, conversations are going to be a lot more open. So have those loose conversations about your finances. Don't act like you're digging in. Just have the loose conversations. The second thing in that same vein, I would say, is to make sure that when you sign the tax return, that you get a copy of it.
Okay. Would you advise people to have some kind of an chit chat with their accountant? Or is that like, I mean, I don't even know what somebody would say. Like, obviously you don't want to disclose to your accountant, I may be getting divorced next year. But like, is there anything that people can do to take it a step further to kind of be more in the know, or is that not a thing?
No, I mean, that is a thing. It's hard to talk to your accountant, I think, if things are going a little weird. But I think that what you can do is say, hey, when I'm signing the tax return, can I see the whole tax return? I want to know what I'm signing. I just don't want to sign it in the dark. So then, you know, there's a few things to look at in the tax return if you have no knowledge. One is look at the, you know, first few pages about what the total income is. And then also look at the bank account or the interest income, because that will show you where some accounts are held.
Okay. So start paying more attention to your finances. What would be the next do that you would suggest? And I know it's not go on social media every day and start talking about your life. We're going to get to that later in our don't section, but what's the next do?
Okay. The next do is you want to start thinking about what you're spending on a monthly basis and where your
That's a bummer.
Going. I know. I'm going to get to something juicy on number three, but I'm not saying like drill down on it. I'm not saying start keeping records and all that stuff because you're going to, but know in the future, if there's financials involved, you're going to be doing that with your lawyer. So if you start having a knowledge of like what you're spending on the mortgage or the real estate taxes or Target every month or the kids, those are all things that you can just kind of start getting your brain working towards thinking about when you're ready to go.
And, you know, things like the mortgage and like household expenses, those obviously might change. They will change when you get divorced because right now everything is shared. But I think what we're really talking about is we want you to be one step ahead of the game for when you have to do a financial affidavit. So start being mindful of things that happen almost every month, like your children's haircuts, like even personal things. How often do you get your nails done? And this is not something, like Morgan said, this is not, you don't have to scale back. We just want you to be mindful of what is regularly, here's a great way of saying it, be mindful of what is coming in and what is going out. Be educated on all of these things, especially if you have a child with some higher needs and they're going to the doctor a lot, right? Or they're having lots of special therapies and things like that. Let's be more mindful than you've been in the past of how much money is coming out regularly every month for these types of expenses.
Yep.
Just because it's going to come into play sooner rather than later mm-hmm. when you do start to file. And like we talk about this all the time, the process of leading up to filing tends to feel like you're moving through quicksand. Every day you're like, oh God, here we go again. It's Groundhog Day. I don't want to be here. I'm miserable. Nothing is happening. And then the second that you file, it feels like, bam, off to the races. Mm-hmm. And everything feels like it's been sped up. And we don't want you to feel out of control once that happens. So with that being said, what's the third step? And I'm waiting for it to get juicy.
Well, the third step is, you know, don't do anything stupid. And I know this.
We're still in our do's.
Oh, we're not in a don't yet?
We're not in a don't yet. I thought you were about to tell us to have an affair and I was going to get all excited and I'm glad I have my wine out.
I was going to tell you something good. All right, I'm going to do one more do and then we're going to do.
Okay.
Okay. If children are involved, be a good parent. And if the other parent isn't being a great parent, make a timeline of some sort about what you're seeing so that when you see your attorney, you're going to know whether it's a real issue or your attorney's going to be like, that's probably not an issue, but be a good parent, be present.
Okay. Can I add to that?
Yeah.
And I know that I'm not typically the one to give to-dos on this show because I'm the one who really fucked up in my divorce, but I'm going to take a stab. What about therapy? Mm. Do we want to say maybe get like, let's start being more mindful of your children's emotional and mental state. And if your child is already prone to anxiety, if your child is already a child who struggles with change, then maybe, especially right now, folks, because let me tell you something, there are wait lists for therapists everywhere. So maybe you start doing a little bit of research on who might be some good people, some good support people to help not only your kids, but you, my friend.
So you added a fourth to do. And I actually like it.
Oh my God.
But if I'm clear, I want to make sure, because I'm sure there's some listeners out there, and I want to say maybe why I didn't put that in my to-do list, my top three. The reason is because a lot of people are probably sitting there like, oh, you know, that's, if I start therapy or ask for my kids to randomly start therapy, it's going to give away the fact that I'm going to divorce someone. And
right.
We hear you. If you can't get away with it, that's fine.
Well, and notice I didn't say get your kids in therapy. Yeah. I said get the legwork done so that you're ready to pull that trigger when something happens, right? Because you just want that. It might be something like getting on a wait list or start collecting names of people who would be good fits for your family. That's what I'm saying. Because obviously that might be a big flag that you're waving, right? Mm-hmm. We're all getting into therapy right now.
But I will say this, though, if you can swing it, if you can mm-hmm. get a therapist on board for you to get you stronger, let's just say you know you're not going to file for a year or whatever your timeline is, another 6 months. If you can, without waving the red flag, go and get therapy, that would be phenomenal because that therapist will help you get stronger so that by the time you start your divorce, you're going to be in a better place.
And right now, it is easier than ever to have help at your fingertips. You can use resources like BetterHelp, which is all virtual. You don't have to go anywhere. So you can, and BetterHelp is affordable. We're not saying that you have to go somewhere and drop $200 an hour on, you know, a high-end therapist. Any kind of help right now to help you be in the strongest shape possible mentally and emotionally is likely going to be a good thing.
Yep.
Okay. Let's break a right turn or left turn into the don'ts.
How about like a U-turn?
Dun,
here?
Dun, dun. U-turn. I know. Is it a U-turn? I don't know.
I don't know either, but here's the don't. Okay. So I've got a lot of clients that are really, when you're prepping for a divorce and you're not just like pulling the trigger right away, you're like, if you're really over your marriage, you're dreaming about what life looks like on the other side. Because yes, you know, it's going to be bumpy during the divorce. You know that, but you're like, okay, I'm doing this for this reason. And I deserve to be happy. I deserve to have another life. I deserve all these things. And I could not agree more. But if you're one of those people and this happens, it's like, I am going to go have sex with everyone the minute I file for divorce. Don't do it.
Why are you looking at me right now?
Well, because you're the only one on the screen.
I didn't do that. I'm just saying I'm starting to feel sweaty and nervous.
So,
okay, go back to having sex with everyone. I'm just going to keep drinking my wine.
If you want to have sex with everyone, there is, again, no shame in that game, except for the fact, be honest with your attorney before you start doing that. Because if you are what's called a maintenance or alimony candidate, it might not be the best, smartest idea. Also, if you're not, and you're just trying to settle a divorce and keep it amicable, if you're out there sleeping with everyone and their mother, the other side, your ex, is not going to be as generous or as accommodating if they think you left them and are sleeping with the whole town. So there are reasons to not do that.
Oh, okay. That was a downer. Mm-hmm. That was a downer. No, I'm just kidding. I just think that we all would rather you tell everybody, here's the best way to go have tons of irresponsible sex. But, you know, fine. That's for the after show. Listen to me. Why did I say listen to me? Listen to me, people. Morgan,
yes.
I want to talk about something that is not the most popular topic, but we keep it real on this show. So here we go. The truth of the matter is that there are many people who are in this position of, I know I want to get divorced, but I'm not ready yet. And that reason is because they are already in another relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Yep. So let's talk about that for a minute as far as the don'ts are concerned. Okay. Just a little nugget here, because what we were just touching on is if you're not already in another relationship, this is not the time to go out and, you know, fuck your brains out all over your town. It's not going to be good. But what about somebody who's already in love with somebody else?
All right, let's talk about that. So should we put Chad and Brenda back in?
I would love to bring back Chad and Brenda.
All right. So here's the deal. Chad and Brenda, we're going to do another scenario here.
But let's say that it's Brenda. Let's leave Chad alone. I feel like Chad's been under fire a lot lately, and I don't want to get any hate from people who are pro-Chad.
Yeah, okay.
So let's say, okay, Brenda.
All right, Brenda. So Chad and Brenda had a rocky relationship. Neither one's really at fault, but look, it's just not going anywhere. Brenda knows she wants to divorce Chad. Chad's just kind of hanging on because he's got nothing better to do, right? He's just not going to pull the trigger. He's just going to hang on. Brenda meets Bobby down the street. Bobby and Brenda are all in love. Do you have a better name?
What year is it? It's 1957, and Brenda goes to a dinner party and meets Bobby. Bobby's wearing his sport coat.
Her leather varsity jacket.
A quite dapper guy, Bobby is. Okay, Bobby.
Remember, I'm not calling him Chenda again. Okay.
Chenda. Okay, so we've got Brad. We've got Chad, Brenda, and Bobby.
Yes. Okay.
These are the whitest people going through a divorce, I just have to say.
You never know what Bobby.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right.
Bobby.
So Bobby, the nice Italian down the street. Okay. So Brenda and Bobby are clearly in a relationship. They're clearly in love, and they've kept it on the down low. Okay. Nobody knows about it. Chad doesn't know about it, but they're clearly seeing each other. This could be okay, is what I'm saying to a client. It could be okay that you have another relationship, but there are factors that you have to talk about this with your divorce attorney. So maintenance could be a factor. Children, how it affects the children and your parenting time could be a factor, or it could be all a non-factor. And I could say, hey, go enjoy your life with Bobby. But the fact of the matter is, and where people get really tripped up and really in trouble, is when they, one, try to hide it from their divorce attorney, or two, try to sugarcoat it. And they say, oh yeah, you know, I am kind of talking, you know, Chad's found out I'm talking to somebody else. It's not a big deal. We're only talking to one another. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's it. That's all you're doing. Oh yeah. That's all we're doing. We'll come to find out that Brenda's with Bobby every night. Brenda's, you know, spending money. Brenda's taking time away from the kids. There's all these things. So don't sugarcoat. Be honest about the amount of time you're talking, the amount of time you're seeing, where Bobby's showing up at, whether there's money involved, and the lawyer will give you the best advice so that you can make good decisions on this. And there's no judgment. I do not, when someone has 20 relationships and they're breaking up their marriage, it's still okay in my book, because at the end of the day, I'm not there to judge. I'm there to make sure that you get the best representation possible. And I'm going to give you the best advice I can to get you through it.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Bobby and Brenda. Brobby. They want to go out of town together, right? Brobby is hot and heavy.
Oh, yeah.
They are in it, and they want to go to Cabo.
Hmm.
Can Brobby leave the country? Now, let's also say that, you know, we keep saying, tell your attorney. Let's just assume that for all intents and purposes of this hypothetical situation, Brenda has not brought an attorney into the mix yet, right?
Yeah.
So Brobby wants to go to Cabo. Yeah. Can they go to Cabo?
Well, I think we're missing a bunch of facts. Do Brenda and Chad have children together?
Likely.
Okay. Is Brenda spending money to go to Cabo?
Well, that's the thing. That's exactly what I was hoping, you know, you would get at, because that's where things get a little tricky, right? Like, and again, you guys, bear with me. I don't want to be insensitive to people who are listening to this episode and they're like, fuck you guys. You guys are talking about affairs like it's nothing. We're being real. This happens a lot, you guys. And we often talk about what it's like if you are the person who is discovering infidelity. Mm-hmm. And we have to talk about the other side, because we're here to help everybody.
Agreed.
So bear with us. And we're not trying to be insensitive right now. Let's just say that, I don't know, maybe it's Bobby's money. I mean, this brings up a good point. Is this the time when Brenda should only be using cash? Like, what are things that could really be a problem down the road?
I mean, look, at the end of the day, it all could be a problem, right? So if Chad is pissed off, like, just remember, if you go on a trip, you know Chad's going to find out, whether it's that day, before, or after. And it's not going to be pleasant. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be pleasant for you, okay? But where do I get concerned? Number one, it's going to make your divorce that much harder, because Chad's going to be pissed, okay? And it's going to come out. Number two, if you're taking time away from your kids to go be Brabby in Cabo, that's not a good look either, if we're going in to argue about what parenting time you should have. And you just kind of up and leave, you know, and Chad's at home taking them to soccer practice and doing all the things. That doesn't look good for your case. The third thing is, are you spending your money on Bobby? That is definitely a problem, depending on the circumstances. Now, if you make a ton of money and Chad makes a ton of money and there are no kids involved and it's just like it's dividing up the money, I might be like, hey, that's cool. Go do you in Cabo. But there's a lot of factors that have to be discussed. And I know that you want to live your life, and I get it. And I see both sides. Like Andrea said, I have clients who are cheated on. I have clients who are cheaters. And I see both. And we just want to make sure that legally, at least I do, legally, you know all your risks and your rewards with every decision. And ultimately, what decision you make, that's on you, and that's okay, but you know what you're getting into.
Okay. Sounds like an area where we might say this is your time to take stock in what kind of choices you're making. And we're not saying you're a bad person if you're doing this, you're a worse person if you're doing this. We're saying let's be as smart as possible right now. And this is a time where if you have a question, DM us.
Yep.
Send us a message, post it anonymously in the How Not to Suck at Divorce private community. We're here to help you. And something else that I want to say, and we're going to move on to other don'ts that don't have anything to do with having an affair. But one thing is, let's not be so quick to judge what we're talking about. We are not proponents of infidelity, but there are lots of reasons that lead someone to make these decisions. And I think with that, we can move on to the next.
Well, let me say one other thing too, because where I practice, my hands are tied. Do I want to judge, you know, at times? Maybe, yeah, but I don't. And here's the reason, because I can't, because our law is a no-fault divorce state. So, and there's so many states out there in the United States that are no-fault divorces, and probably in other countries too. So you need to know in your state whether there is fault or not. So meaning, you know, somebody could have 20 partners, and although it doesn't feel good, the law doesn't really look at them any differently, except in a few circumstances. So for me, we're not really being insensitive. We are being legally minded.
Well, let's talk about just a little bit more, because you touched on that, and I'm glad you did. Let's talk about the nuances here. Let's go into what does no fault mean and what it doesn't mean. Because no fault technically means that somebody, there's nowhere on your divorce decree or your the filing of dissipation of marriage is it going to say adultery, right? But it doesn't mean that negotiations for alimony, maintenance, or really anything in your divorce process is not going to be more contentious because your spouse whom you're attempting to divorce knows about some extracurricular activities that you've been having.
Oh my gosh, yes. And that's what I harp on all the time. Legally, the judge isn't going to care about an affair, at least in my state, because it's a no-fault divorce. Where they're going to care is two reasons. One is you're spending money on this person. And two is you're taking time away from your kids to spend time with Bobby. So those are the two ways that it comes into play. But what I always say is any good divorce attorney is going to say exactly what Andrea just did. You can't negate the emotional pull and the emotions that come with something like infidelity. Nobody forgets it. And nobody is as generous and as amicable in a divorce settlement generally when there's that going in the other person's face. It makes them crazy.
Okay. So we'll remove ourselves from this soapbox and let's move on to the second don't.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going to go through a divorce at some point in the future. Mm-hmm. Don't post ridiculous things on social media. Watch what you're posting.
The audience would like to know, could you please elaborate on what is ridiculous?
Okay. So if... there's so many things that are ridiculous. Let's just say you're doing a lot of girls' trips or guys' trips, and every picture you're blasted in the picture doing tequila shots in Mexico because you're just trying to escape life. Again, no judgment here. Just don't put it all over social media because then you could be painted in a different light. Or how about you're posting all these funny videos of your kids up and down social media, either funny or talking about what a wonderful mom you are, basically without saying it. Just cut all that out. You don't have to put yourself out there like that. Just kind of watch what you're putting out there.
Let's go into a little bit more of why on that, because I think what you just said, I think you're going to catch a lot of people's attention that they're going to think, well, I post videos of my kids all the time. Like, why? I'm not saying that I'm the world's best mom, but why can't I post videos of my kids? And what can't I post? What's the damage?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of articles. I wrote an article recently about sharenting. It's called Sharenting because you're basically sharing your children and parenting on social media. Mm-hmm. And I think that right now the courts mostly are at a real big impasse here because, at least in Illinois, our courts are supposed to do what's in the best interest of the children. That's what they're tasked mm-hmm. with figuring out. But on the flip side, there's something called the Constitution, right? Free speech, all those kind of good things.
Heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a Schoolhouse Rock about that once.
Did you learn anything?
I could sing you the preamble, but we'll do that off the show.
Okay, good. So
we the people, in order to form a more perfect union. Am I dating myself? Did you ever watch Schoolhouse Rock?
I don't even know, but I was interested in your singing. God. Your singing was mm-hmm. good.
All right. Keep going.
Anyway, so the bottom line is, you know, people have very different views, even married people, about what should be shared and what shouldn't be shared. And the courts are kind of at an impasse of whether they agree with it or not. So you just, it's another issue you don't want to have come up in court. It's just another expensive issue to fight about.
All right. I'm going to add to this.
Okay.
Since we're on social media, a topic that I'm very well versed in. Follow me at, just kidding. The Andrea Rappaport on Instagram and Facebook. I have something, and it's a personal something. me. If you typically post, let me back up. If your profile picture on Facebook is historically a picture of you and your entire family, now is not the time to change that picture to a picture of just you. Or just you and your kids. And why, you may ask? Well, unless you want your entire town, your running club, your dog walking circle, your quilting community, your Bible club, your book club, your bunco club, everybody wondering what the hell is going on and why all of a sudden Brenda took Chad out of her picture.
Ow!
Don't do it. And I'm not saying you don't. I get that you want to do it. I was there. I fucking wanted to do it. And I might have. I don't even remember, actually. But
You live
don't
and learn.
Do it if you don't want more attention, because mm-hmm. this is a time when you're going to be going through emotional turmoil. You don't want to talk to everybody about everything going on in your life, because you're going to get a ton of opinions. You're going to get a ton of bad information, a lot of terrible legal referrals, and you do not want everybody knowing everything. So one of the best ways to mitigate that is just keep your fucking profile picture the same for right now. You can hate it all you want. Don't change shit in the public eye until you're ready to answer questions. That's it.
Oh, that was a good one.
Thank you.
Coming from experience.
You live, you learn.
What is okay. it? Live, laugh, love?
Live, live, laugh, post. Okay. What's number three?
Number three of the don'ts?
Yep.
Okay. Number three of the don'ts. Don't do anything that you haven't been doing in the past. You know what I'm saying? Like, do what you've always been doing. Don't go, if you're not somebody that goes and gets a whole new face in the past, or all new boobs, or a Birkin bag, or whatever.
All new boobs. All new.
Brand
four-wheel new. Drive.
That's right.
All-wheel drive.
All-wheel drive. If you don't have that rack and all-wheel drive, don't do it. It's not what you've been doing in the past without some kind of an agreement. But what I'm saying to you too is, it's kind of a do and a don't, because it's don't do anything out of the ordinary, but do the ordinary. So if you always go on vacation every year with your kids, go on vacation. Don't do anything out of the ordinary. Keep doing what you've always done.
I want to talk about something that is incredibly prevalent in the community in which I live, which I will call gift card gate. Do you know what I'm about
Ooh,
to
yes,
say?
I do know that.
Are you hot on this topic? Because I never did this, and man, I kick myself for not doing this. Like, those smart bitches. But how do you feel on this? And let me go ahead and explain what gift card gate is. You go to your grocery store, you buy groceries for the family, but that's not all you buy. You take gift cards from the checkout lane. Maybe it's Nordstrom, maybe it's Target, maybe it's, I don't know, any places you want, and you buy some gift cards so that you have your spending money should you need it if things go haywire in the future. Weigh in here, Morgan.
Ouch. Yeah, this is a thing. It's hard for us as divorce lawyers to track, because it does not generally come on, you know, just shows, for instance, Whole Foods doesn't show the breakdown. But one way to kind of know, and this is kind of a hard way to know, but one way to know is to kind of look at the grocery bills before and then look at them now. And if they're way higher, that's a problem. I do know some grocery stores, and I don't know if they're still doing this, used to do cash back. So you could say your grocery bill is $100. You could say, all right, but I'm going to do $120, and they will give you the $20 back. So that's certainly a thing, but also it's kind of awkward if you really do it, which most of my clients don't need to do this, and hopefully you don't either. But at the flip side, like, these gift cards are not that big generally. So you're going to have like 900 gift cards in your purse. It's going to look a little awkward.
Okay. Here's the other thing I want to talk about, because we're talking, I'm sorry, the way that I served this up was a little bit, I don't want to come off flippant, but I kind of made it sound like, oh, Nordstrom, because we all want to go get new shoes. That was not right. Let's say that you are in a situation where there's some bad stuff happening, right? Maybe you're being financially abused. Maybe there's a lot of control happening with money, mm-hmm. and maybe you're buying gift cards to help support you and your children should shit get really crazy, and you're worried about temporary spousal support, right? I think what we're trying to say is you're going to do what you need to do. But if you do something that is completely different than what you've done in the past, it's going to raise a red flag. So if your grocery bills have typically been anywhere from $80 to $115 a week, and then all of a sudden they jump up to $180 to $215 a week, there's going to be some questioning as to why. And I think maybe we leave it at that.
Yeah, but legally, I want to say I'm never the proponent of scamming the system. I'm always the proponent of going the right route, always. And why? Number one, you only have one reputation, so you do the right thing always. Number two, I never want to look back and feel like you weren't the stand-up person that you should have been.
True.
And number three, there are routes in our court system for issues like that. So I would always advocate the right way, but I would say to Andrea, what you're saying is something I have heard many times.
Correct. Now let me back up. Because as you were talking, Morgan, something else came to my mind. If you are in that case of the person I just described, then you, my friend, fall into the category of somebody who should probably have an attorney already.
Agree.
Because you deserve this insight and support. Now, one last thing. And this, I thought this episode was going to be so easy, and we totally got into the weeds here. Morgan, somebody wants to hire an attorney so badly, but how do they pay for that? What do they do?
Yep.
Do they open up a new credit card and put that retainer fee on a credit card because they're not quite ready to file, but maybe they fall into this category. Everything we're saying, they're like, fuck, 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 fuck. I need to hire an attorney. How the fuck am I? Now you're telling me to keep my finances the same, but I got to go put $10,000 or whatever on a credit card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a big issue. So what I always say to somebody, and this I think is kind of common in any divorce practice, is if you don't want your spouse to know, let's figure out a way not to let them know that you feel comfortable, you're protected, but they don't know. And what I suggest either, again, is a credit card that they don't have access to, like a new credit card. And you want to talk to your attorney's office because not every attorney's office takes every type of credit card. So don't go open an Amex when we don't take Amex. Talk to your lawyer about it. The other way is a good way to borrow money. Have your parents or siblings or friend make the retainer payment and then do a promissory note with that person that I owe you the money back. I'm going to pay you as soon as I can. And a lot of lawyers and law firms will actually have a promissory note for you to do with your with the person who's advancing it.
I've said this more than once. My father paid. My father stepped in and helped me. I was not in a position where I could do it. So there is no shame in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is what I want to leave you all with. There's a lot of do's and there's a lot of don'ts, right? You might feel a little bit overwhelmed right now. Your head is spinning. I want to give you a few things just to remember. Number one, you got to be mindful of the finances. Know what's coming in and know what's coming out. That is a big one. Number two, you want to talk, if you're ready to talk to attorneys, you need to go and inform yourself of who's going to be the best person to help you and represent you. If you are able to bring that person on, do it, because to Morgan's point, you don't want your soon-to-be ex-spouse to go and hire that attorney, and then you cannot use them. If you are able to make arrangements to get yourself help, mental support, mental health support, you should do that. And like I said, get the ball rolling if you have children on whom might be the right support for those kids. We're not saying that you pull the trigger on that yet, but get that ball rolling. There could be wait lists or just know. And also, you guys, the court will know this. And you would share with your attorney, these are all the things that I'm doing to help support my children. So should there ever be questions about custody or whatever in the future, you do want that paper trail of from the moment go, I have done everything in my power to best support these kids. So that's important. If you're not yet having an affair, no, if you are, let's move into the don'ts. If you are not having an affair and you're unhappy in your marriage, now is not the time to go out and go get, you know, HPV from everybody in your community. It's going to be expensive in antibiotics and you just don't want to do that. If you already find yourself in a relationship, don't be a dummy. Be smart. I'm sorry. There's no other way to say it. Don't be a dummy. And this is a time because we got really rattled on with this. You can DM us your questions. and we can help you make sense of what the right thing to do is.
Yeah.
Do not post crazy shit on social media. If you are questioning whether something is crazy shit or not, then that should be your indication that you shouldn't post it.
I agree.
Don't change your profile picture unless you want everybody in your quilter circle to know. Also, if you're in a quilter circle, maybe you should look at that.
Yep.
My
wine is out, so we have to wrap this.
I know. I'm like, wait, Morgan's wine. This episode will now self-destruct. You know what? I'm glad we had this conversation because I think that it's important to give people a good frame of what these immediate do's and don'ts are when you're not quite ready to file.
Yeah.
So again, you're not quite there yet. You know you're miserable, but you're not ready.
Right. And if that's you, there's community out there for you. We have a private community that you can belong to on Facebook. You can send us a DM. Andrea can tell you how to get into it. And it's private. Nobody's going to know about it. And also, you can DM us. Watch our Instagram. You're just going to feel community just by doing that.
And this is brand new, and I'm so glad Morgan just brought this up because now we have a really exciting announcement. We are now forming a separate private community for those of you who have not yet filed for divorce, but you are considering this process because we realize that these numbers are coming in droves, and we want to make sure that you guys get the specialized help and support that really serves you. So look for the link in our show notes to join the How Not to Suck at Divorce Community Pre-Divorce Group. We're so glad that you listened to this episode. The fact that you even listened to this episode should tell you something. You're doing everything in your power to be as knowledgeable as possible as you navigate these early stages. We are here for you. We're not going to tell you that this is going to be a walk in the park, but we are going to tell you that you're going to get to the other side of this park at some point, and you're going to be a whole lot happier and a whole lot healthier. And yes, your kids will be okay.
That's right. Because divorce is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And if you're thinking about this now, you know that it's a marathon because you've got that line in the sand that you're thinking about in the future, and it will be okay. And we are here for you at all times. So listen, if you liked our episode, please rate and review us. It can be confidential as well. We appreciate every rating and review. We love having you join our private community. We answer every DM. And remember, this is tough stuff, and it's okay. We will get through it with you. We are always there for you. You've got this, and we've got you.
For more support, please join our private communities on Facebook and Patreon. The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast is executively produced by Andrea Rappaport.